Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry, and this is my wonderful husband, David Curry, and we are excited for this episode today. We have Reina Reyes to the Hype Leadership Podcast. Reina is the co-founder of American Federal Benefits and a trusted expert in helping federal and postal employees navigate retirement with clarity and confidence. Alongside her husband, Richard, has also dedicated his career and her career to guiding individuals and families through important financial decisions with integrity and personalized care. With over 40 years of combined experience, Reina and her team has helped thousands of federal employees across the U.S. understanding their benefits and retirement success. As a RFC, a FEPS, and an NSSA, she brings a deep well of knowledge and a strong passion for helping others plan for a secure future. We can't wait to hear your thoughts. Welcome to the podcast, Retirement Queen Reina.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that intro. Whoever you're talking about sounds pretty cool. That sounds pretty awesome. Yeah, but those letters that move into the name, just to clarify, NSSA is a National Social Security Advisor. RTF is a registered trust fiduciary. FEPS is a financial correction, final expense planning specialist. And then our RFC is a registered financial consultant. All that means is took a bunch of classes to look cool. So
that is awesome. That is more than we have behind our name. I used to have PGA. That was it. Professional Golfers Association. So just trying to
make a lot of cool stuff, though, by the way. That comes with a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I was actually looking up those designations yesterday again, and I just have to give you credit. You know, we are excited to honor you on the show, and I'm excited to learn from you because the wealth of knowledge that you bring, I can see it because I've been trailing your TikToks this past week and the weeks leading up. You are amazing. So glad that you're here to shine your light on the Hype Podcast and the listeners, subscribers. We will learn something and so will they today. So Reina, thank you. Excited for this. As we get started, you guys know, if you've heard before, we always like to theme our podcast, theme the show. We ask the guest if there's a quote that has meant something to them over the years they've gone back to. Reina, of course, gave us one that, again, I had to look up, but that quote for this quote is, "Brevity is the soul of wit," from the William Shakespeare. And I have to ask you, Reina, why did that mean something to you when we ask you what did?
Well, in the same way we as salespeople, all of us salespeople, are supposed to, they say you have two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? You're supposed to listen twice as much as you're supposed to talk. Well, sometimes we as salespeople forget that. And I am the chief of sinners because I tend to over-talk, over-explain, which in the world of benefits and things like that is not always horrible. But my goal has been to attain a more brief explanation of things, a much more succinct and descriptive with less words type of pitch, and also just in life. So it's something to which I aspire, and I always feel that I fall short, but I always try to keep things briefer than I originally planned, although even as I tell you now, it's continuing on. So
Right. No, you speak our language here in Kentucky. God gave us two ears, one mouth. We've said it a lot over the years. So there's multiple ways of saying it, but we always look at it. When you confuse a client, it's hard for them to make any kind of decisions, right? So keeping things simple is always key. So yeah, makes tons of sense to us. I want to ask you a little bit as we open up. I feel like I've heard this either from you on stage or Richard or Lynn. But you've got these designations. You've got a ton of experience and knowledge of our industry. I just wanted to hear your story, because everybody, I've always said nobody grew up wanting to be Mr. or Mrs. Insurance Man, right? That's something we've said. People come to our business for various different reasons, but I want to know your story. How'd you get here? Like, when did that happen? Why where you're at? Because you do such a great job at what you do.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And you and your honey bunches do a pretty good job, too. I've known Lindsay for quite some time, and she is an incredible, hardcore trooper in this industry. And I'm so proud to know her. This is it. Very enjoyable already. But it's funny you say nobody grows up wanting to be Mr. or Mrs. Insurance Man. My dad was Mr. Insurance Man. So he was PNC, worked at Allstate. And when I was 14 years old, I started working in the office. And so I've lived and breathed it, right? So all through then, 14 years old, taking bill pay, learning how to smile when you answer the phone, all of these things. And my parents were both, I grew up in church. And so my mom is a trained mezzo soprano. My dad plays alto sax, and we grew up in a big church. So it was always stage and productions and singing. And so I've never had a problem being in front of the group, in front of people. And so fast forward in my adult life, I went to college and I was an English major, therefore, ergo, Shakespeare. But then I thought I was going to be the coolest English teacher ever. And then all the school stuff started happening. And I'm like, maybe I don't want to be in school. So I added a marketing minor, graduated, and went straight to work selling life insurance at a company. I don't know if I can say names, but a Torchmark company up in Pensacola, Florida. And my manager, or he who should have been my manager, fell down the stairs before I showed up. So I got assigned to a different manager. And then when I met the guy who was supposed to be my manager, he was this bald-headed Puerto Rican named Richard Reyes, ended up being the hubs. So when he was not my manager anymore, that meant we could date. So that was kind of cool. So then, you know, everything happens for a reason. Very fortuitous and serendipitous. But fast forward after that, we worked together for a while, branched out, actually started a home improvement business. And then I was approached by a mortgage protection company to sell life insurance again, go back to my roots, mortgage protection. I said, I can do this. Let's roll. And then he came over, worked with me for a while. We opened our own agency back in 2008. Okay. And then it progressed. And then I was approached with a job offer to sell Medicare individually as a captive agent. Did that for a while. So little portions of my life have been very distinctive in different subsets of the industry. And then after Medicare, we started doing a lot of workshops and different things. And then Richard was not working with me at Medicare, and he was doing some other meetings and workshops. And then it just melded to where we were connected, doing seminars for federal employees. And then here we are. We're a national organization. We have approvals from multiple unions, different things like that, all the different connections. And our main focus is with IRAs and annuity products, but we still do life insurance and Medicare as well. But that's kind of the nutshell. This is me in a nutshell.
That is the full gamut, right? I mean, you've seen it all then. So, and that makes sense too, right? Because what a lot of people do see about the insurance world, and a lot of people sell it like this, is you can part-timely be in this business and make a full-time living doing it. So
very true.
When you do see the benefits of what we do on a personal level, it starts to make more sense as to why it's attractive.
That was very true. And one of the things I know just through conversation with Raina, that your daughter and your son is in there working alongside of you all, correct?
Yeah. So when I met my husband, he had two boys. So I'm a bonus mom. I bonus into two. And the oldest one works with me. He's literally, I can see him through my window. He's in the office with me, 27 years old. And he's been licensed in insurance since he was 18. There's that. And then my daughter, she's 10 years old. And I can share with you a video, Lindsay, of her with earphones on, reading a script, confirming someone's registration. So it's good stuff. If you go way back in the TikToks, she says, I'm Miss Raina's daughter. I can help you with Medicare, DSP, and all this stuff. Oh, she'll pop her head in. on a virtual meeting. Oh, I've got somebody in there. She'll be like, don't forget to plan for taxes. And then leave. Then I'm like, what just happened?
That's the girl. That's the one. She's going to, she'll grow up to do it.
Oh, she better.
I've seen those TikToks. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, let's plug that TikTok. Cause right now I know you're
Raina Retirement. We'll be here all day.
That's right. Raina underscore retirement.
Yep. TikTok.
Yeah.
Retirement. We're on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and your local grocery store, wherever annuities are sold.
And based on what I've seen, what I love about it is the education aspect of what you do. Like it's I'm learning everything I see from you. I'm learning something new. So let me ask you real quick, just what is your son licensed to do? As somebody, I mean, so he's been licensed since 18. He's been in the business 9 years. What all does he do for you?
Sounds like you're planning for your family legacy, David.
You know, Locke's 10 years old. We got to figure something out, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. When he started at 18, we were still heavy in the mortgage protection scenario. And so he started dialing. He really got a piece of him handed to himself, right? Like you get a lot of no's and the hangups and the blah, 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 blah. We started him on pretty old leads. So it's out of the way. But he started with that. So life insurance. And he now has sort of crossed over. He's writing annuities as well. He does everything other than Medicare. He's actually really taken the reins on the idea of an IUL. Because he loves, for a while, he strayed from the home and worked at Merrill Lynch. But he really loves stocks and aggression. And, you know, he's a spreadsheet guy and he's everything is educated risk and all these kind of things, which I'm pro. I love it. It's great. I love it. He was trading options. He loves all these things. But because of that, he's really interested in the leverage of dollars and the IUL and things like that, in addition to annuities also. But he's kind of one of our go-to life guys as well. When somebody needs life insurance, they need more of a complex kind of program. I can either handle it or I'll send it over to him.
I love that. So let me ask you this, Raina. So been in the business since 2008. What at this point, what is it that still keeps you motivated and passionate about what it is that you do?
They say when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And I love talking to people, like even messing with y'all and talking in country colloquialisms. I'm loving it. Exactly. I've been saying that my whole life. So it's that's the thing. Even today, I'm learning from somebody. I just left Philadelphia and my Lyft driver, he speaks 5 languages, like learning about people and like where they come from, the benefits and things like that. I love them. They help people. And I even love thrift shopping. And I compare this because I like to squeeze the benefit out of everything, right? I like to squeeze the dollar out of some item. I like to get a value and a savings. And I want to achieve that for other people where maybe they didn't have the time to learn about it. Or, you know, they didn't know about something or just didn't have time to realize something. And all of these different facets, whether it's life insurance and you just didn't know you could get a plan with living benefits, or Medicare, and you didn't know you could get a plan that saves you money on Part B. I love that light bulb moment. Like, are you telling me that I love it. I love that part. And that will never get old for me. It's like a teacher with a kid that they have the light bulb and now they understand. That never gets old for me. And I absolutely, absolutely love it. And I believe people can see that you love that. Like they know that you actually care. And I think that's overused in our industry. Oh, I'm the one that cares. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
there's a lot. Like when you ask in one of your requests, what's something that sticks out to you? Or like people that there's two that stick out. One of them made me money. One of them, none. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. The people that I think you actually feel that you truly helped, that gives you more of this intrinsic value, this higher satisfaction, rather than I made a bazillion dollar commission off of this other thing. Right.
Well, it's like, who's the old pot and pan sales guy? Gosh, we've all listened.
Big one. Yes.
Yes. Right. If you help enough people get what they want, we, in the long run, we all end up with what we want. And just from what I've learned, again, I'm an insurance pro. We've been in the business 15 years. The thing that you're doing to me from the outside looking in seems so complex. So we've always said it too, right? With our client, just a simple final expense plan. We went to school to study that product and how they work and what's going to happen when that day comes. Most people, and what you're doing seems much more complex. So there has to be a lot of misunderstanding from those clients when it comes to what they have available to them, right?
So much, so much. And that's why many times y'all may have, I don't know if you have multiple meetings, but that's the reason I think, I'll make an interesting comparison. When I'm a kid, one of my teachers says to me, Raina, you can't see the trees for the forest. Like, you know, the opposite is usually true. People say they can't see the forest for the trees because they're too stuck in the details. Mm-hmm. I can't see the tree because of the forest. I get the big picture. I get the point and I'm done. Like, I don't get details, right? So I think that's to our benefit in taking what could be a very complex idea and paraphrasing it or putting it in an image or sharing it with a word picture to where people actually get the concept. We can get granular later, but I want you to get it. And I think that's the bigger part of any insurance product, financial product, any product at all, and taking it from what could be very complex, like describing how a, you know, internal combustion system works rather than, hey, here's a car. It's got four doors. You can drive it.
Turn the key, press the gas.
You got
it. Put it in drive first.
Exactly.
And what you're doing on TikTok, just posting those are, you know, with people asking you questions and then breaking it down. You're being very brief, like 30 seconds, but you're breaking it down for them to understand. Like, hey, what's my option here? Right?
Exactly.
And educating them because they haven't had enough time to educate themselves. Or maybe you said on one, like, don't get educated by somebody who's not educated, right? And then I'm dying laughing. I'm like, that's spot on. Like, don't take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with.
Well, it's funny. That actual comment sparked from a heckler. I got a heckler now. So this guy goes on everything. He's like, don't get information from people on TikTok. And then I almost had a tear. Like all these people started commenting, like coming to my rescue. Like she's awesome. And this is not actual, she's not giving advice. Anyway, but it's true. I think I was being a little sarcastic. And I was like, don't go to anybody, go to the person or something.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like people will get benefit advice from Joe at the water cooler and roll with it before they'll actually seek some type of actual true professional. And that's a great comparison. Joe was right about his sister's cousin's mom, but it may not be correct for you, and everybody's different. And that's a great comparison too, because one person may be great for like a whole life and the other person already had a whole life, needs a term, and now they're talking about a term and they miss context. So I think it's very important to create the context as well. But you're right. Those little snippet conversations are digestible. And I think that's why people are actually getting it.
Yes, for sure. So you mentioned that, right? You've got a heckler now. So somebody that sticks out to you. Now we know you've made it. That's
definitely there's no higher scenario. Yeah.
I love, because like you say, we do this for the client, right? And it's the client that keeps us passionate about it. It's what we get to do for these people and the families that make the difference all the way around. I've got a personal story that I think about the biggest impact I've made with somebody over the years. And I remember that. Do you have a story? I know you've probably got a lot. It's a long story. It ends up bad. Great for Grim. It wasn't great for me.
Oh, dang it.
You know the dirty word in our business. It changed the rest of their life. We'll say that.
Understood.
But it was wonderful. You know, so final expense, right? We meet with salt of the earth people. These people had policies since, I think, early 60s through the 70s with a Commonwealth insurance company that's local around here. They've changed names. Now they're Transamerica. Long story short, we were able to put $8,000 of cash back in their pocket through these policies and save them, I think, $200-$300 a month in their monthly expenses, that they were in their late 70s, maybe early 80, 81, 80, 82. They were going, I mean, factually, they were going to pass away with these debts, right? They were going to pass away with the debts. They have the cash. So again, I asked him, I said, what are we going to do with all this? What is this going to do for you? And she said, it's just going to allow for us to go out to Red Lobster on Friday night. Yeah, we'll be able to go out to dinner now for this. And that to me has forever stuck in my head, because that was the impact that we do this for, right? Like, these people totally have changed the rest of their life. I ask you that. Do you have any memorable stories of people that you've helped over the years? Anything like that?
Absolutely. And two stick out. One is actually not in the federal industry. It's from long before, when I was actually running Mortgage Protection Lead. And I think everybody in America has heard of Bayou La Batterie, Alabama. And
Vaguely junior. Yearly, yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody's seen the movie Forrest Gump, that's where he ended up. That's where Bubba's from. But I used to live in Pensacola, and I would work twice a week in Mobile or Bayou La Batterie, Alabama. And during this time period was after the BP oil spill. Do you remember that time period? Big deal, big claims. Everybody's coming out of the woodwork that they were affected. Okay. My guy was affected. In Bayou La Batterie, Alabama, you either work in a shrimp boat or you work on the oil rig. And that's pretty much what you do, unless you're farming or who knows what else, but not a lot of choices. So he was out of work because of this oil spill. And so I come to him saying, why don't we protect your modular home on which you have a mortgage? He says, can't afford $50 a month. I'm out of work. I say, okay, well, what about 20? Can't afford it. What about a $7 monthly accident plan for $50,000? All right, I'll do it. So we got him in the $7 a month accident plan. I disappear. I'm back in Mobile. I get a call from his wife. Hey, Raina, Michael, he's in the hospital. He's diagnosed with cancer. I go visit him in the hospital because I'm in Mobile. I go see him. Hey, Raina, looks like, should I cancel my plan? Looks like I ain't going to die from an accident. Looks like it's going to be cancer. And I got a pretty good rapport with this guy. He's up on like the sixth floor. I was like, Michael, you don't know you're going to be walking down this hallway with your IV. You fall out the window. Bam, that's accident. You better keep the plan. He says, all right, Raina, I'll keep your $7 a month plan. I said, okay, let's go. Okay, they're good. So I leave him. I don't know, a year later, maybe. Call from the wife. Raina, Michael was home cooking noodles, fell asleep, burnt down his modular home with him in it. Fire is an accident. She, because of this $7 a month accident policy, brand new modular home for her, and my first annuity back in whatever this was, 2011 or something. And that will never, ever leave my memory because of just how many times I saw them, visited them, knew what type of conditions they were accustomed to living in. She was able to significantly upgrade her scenario. And without that, oh, who knows? Who knows? $7 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I mean, we would use what they call the TAP method, term, accident, perm. Accident, perm. Get a little term, get a little accident coverage, get a little permanent coverage. You got a nice little portfolio. And we can only get the P or the T. No, the at on him. See, brevity is not my soul of wit. I don't even. Anyway, so you get the point. This, just these little extra steps, I guess, or me. I don't even know if my humor made him keep the plan or not. Who cares? He had it when he needed it. And that changed his wife's life. Literally changed her life. And she's still living in that place today.
That's awesome.
Wow. $7. Seven.
That's it. It keeps you coming back.
So mine turns out also a little sad, but also good, kind of.
Right. Hey, that's all right. That's the business we're in, but it's why we do it. And I think for those listening to the show, you can hear the passion that you have towards the client, right? So many people, when they hear that we sell insurance, they immediately put that guard up, right? Like, okay, we were just having a conversation before this with one of our friends, longtime business partner, talking about IULs, talking about selling these to people that we know the benefit that it can bring to them, but also the challenge that it may be selling something to someone that you're closer to than, as we've always said, the person's new best friend is a stranger from out of town, like us. That
the prophet is never welcome in their own home.
So that is what it's all about, right? And I think that is why, again, you are a light that's shining today on our show. But again, for the clients that you sit down with, it's very easy to know why they want to do business with you. And I wanted to ask you about, you know, these life-changing events that have taken place over the time of us being in this business. And I've heard you on podcasts before talk about virtual sales. So I wanted to ask you about pre-COVID, post-COVID. You do a lot virtually now, or do you do most of your sales and meetings virtually? Was it always like that? What's changed? And the connection that we have with people is everything, right? Like you said, I've visited with this person. I've been in his home. I visited him at the hospital. Is that different for you now? Or do you still grab that same connection? Are you able to do that virtually?
So I did not do a Zoom call until the year of 2020. I mean, really. I think most of us were like that, right? Yeah, we're kneecap to kneecap, high touch, all of those things, eyeball to eyeball and look and smell and all this stuff. Because we were doing, even with workshops, we're face to face. You see this person. You see, you know, all the indicators that you would get from meeting someone that tells you whether or not you're cool with them. The beauty of Zoom is that you still can get that to the majority. Like for the majority of the time, you can really still size somebody up on Zoom, which I think is really good. Post-COVID, we absolutely teeter-tottered to being from 100% face-to-face or some phone follow-up. I went to bam, 70%+ in that year. Absolutely. I was late to the game in terms of the Zoom. I was on the phone. I was doing phone calls and I'm calling, I'm, you know, smiling and dialing. And Richard, my husband, he's like, you got to get in front of these people. I'm like, no, it's a phone. I don't really know how to do that. Finally, I was asked by a client, can we get on like a FaceTime or a
Yeah.
Okay. We do it. He's like, this is great. I'm showing him stuff. And I'm like, oh, there's a screen share here. What is this? Never. That was my turning point. And of course, my husband's all, I've told you so. I've been telling you for 6 months. I'm like, touche. You're right. But everything else, I'm like, yeah. I'll give you that one thing.
Yeah.
That's all you get, Richard. But yeah. But that's it. That's the deal. After Zoom, you, absolutely. And that's the thing. You can do a heck of a lot with Zoom. That is very, it's the next best thing. It really is. Now, we have not forsaken the congregation. We have not forsaken getting together. We're still doing face-to-face workshops. And I have the benefit of being in a place where I've got a pretty good office presence where people come and still see me. Good. But other than that, I'm the queen of Zoom. I'm on it all the time. All the time. And if it's not Zoom, it's TikTok, and you just get used to talking to a camera, and then all of a sudden we're all Denzel Washington and we're amazing actors. And it's fun. People get good at it. Almost everybody also was forced into it after COVID. So we're all in the same learning curve of tech, right? I love the moment when I've got an 85-year-old on Zoom. I'm like, look at you. You're such a tech guru, you know? And you're like, I can't believe I did it. It's great because you still can have the same meeting that you would have had. And then a click signature over the phone. I mean, it's great.
So what about the amount of meetings? Were you able to conduct the same amount of meetings in a day as you do now or you can now?
Absolutely not. I can do way more. Yeah. I was sitting and staring at myself.
I know. the mental battle we got to face to do that, right?
Oh, boy. Like, I'm texting people like, please get on. I'm looking at myself. Please get on. Where are you? Save me. But yeah, as you know, back when I was doing, you know, if I'm doing house to house, I mean, you've got drive time, you've got no shows, you've got all these things. A no show on Zoom means very little. I mean, you don't want it, but it's much less painful than showing up and knocking and hearing the dog bark and then no one answers. So definitely different in terms of that. I never want to forsake the congregation, right? I always want to stay what I call high tech and high touch. I want to have both. Some people still ask to get together. I want to be able to accommodate if they live in my zip code or, you know, if within a radius, obviously. But if it's impossible, that the Zoom is a very quick, easy. I'm sure y'all have been the same, right? Like, you know, you may meet them and then a follow-up on Zoom because they know you already. They've already done the sizing up. They've already passed that.
Yes. And I'm sure with your workshops, like you're being introduced, so you're getting that face-to-face. And then, hey, if that second appointment or third is a Zoom, like you've already had that, at least that first interaction where you can build that relationship with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we always say like the meeting itself is the first appointment. And then everything subsequent to that, it's just a second because they already know you. They see what you're getting at. They see, you know, how you answer questions and people or whatever. And y'all are probably the same, right? You meet somebody, whether if it's in a group setting or individual, a lot of that's the beauty of the referral, right? Somebody says, hey, you go to meet with Lindsay. You know, she's amazing. She came to my house. And then that third party validation, it's golden.
It is. No, it truly is. So let me ask you this. When did you introduce Reyna Retirement and how has that impacted your business?
That's a brand.
I never thought it would be anything like that. I think
it was your daughter that took that shot and then wasn't it?
Something. It's, you know, the Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate events. Mine was a series of fortunate events, really. I think that changed that. I just said, I am missing a boat here. I need to at least be talking about this because I keep answering the same dang questions over and over again with different people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a pastor, right? The pastor studies the Bible. The Bible itself doesn't change, but you're talking about 50-11 people that have the same question 50-11 times, but it's the same answer every time, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing, like these Fed benefits or even answers with insurance and Medicare and all the stuff. It is what it is, but it's different for them because it's their first time hearing and it's always their first time. It's my 109th, but it's their first. So, you know, you want to keep it fresh for them each time and be just as excited every time that as you're sharing it with them. So that's where I was like, I got to just jump on here and start doing it. I think my first video was like, I'm new to TikTok, but not new to all these benefits. So this is just me, you know, something like that. And it, I think it was 2 years, maybe it's been 2 years. And I was incredibly lackadaisical in my first times posting. It was twice a week. It was with zero consistency. And then everybody was telling me, if you want actual stuff, you've got to post at least once a day. All right, we post a day. And then this recent shakeup in the makeup that we're watching on the news every day, even now I'm seeing stuff happen because they passed the bill this morning. It's a whole thing. But all of that progressed to where people need this updated information specific to Fed. But it's nothing different with Medicare. Rules are changing. Social Security. Rules are changing. Life insurance. You're aging and things are different. And look, there's a new benefit on this company and all of those things. So if we're excited, they'll be excited.
Yeah. And I mean, that really was the root for this podcast. You know, it was about, okay, we have a challenge of impacting an agent with that personal relationship that we were able to do when we were much smaller than we are now. Right. Mm-hmm. And putting that presence out there of transferring that knowledge, like you said, it may be, you may have done a video 2 years ago, but it's going to be that one person's first time seeing that. And it was exactly what they needed to hear. And it's hard to be able to transfer so much knowledge that we acquire over the years without documenting it some way. So you, again, honor and commend you for what you've done there, because again, that's to transfer the knowledge of the business, transfer the secrets to success, some of the mental hurdles that we all, you know, you're going to face, you know, what stages you're going to be presented with in the business. And we've been there, done that, know how to get over them. So you mentioned that you're, I guess the solution that you provide within the Fed for these people is a changing thing every day. What do you feel like? Is that your primary, like, tell us a little bit about your primary focus in Reign of Retirement, again, Fed-based stuff. Who is it, the perfect person that you help the most?
Well, we all have a collective goal for ourselves. Like, if we're talking Zig Ziglar, you help enough people get what they want, then you'll get what you want. What we want is to make a living. And to obviously, it's a transaction. So we get paid when there is a transaction. So the ultimate goal would be, if there's a need, then I can help this person with a transaction that helps them and also helps me. If there's no help for them, I have no business with any transaction. But they know probably 50 people that do need to have a transaction with me. So if it's not that person, right? I don't know if you've heard the saying, we never want to, as agents, have commission breath. There. You've heard of that term, right?
Yeah.
Where you're just speaking and you're just laying it on them, sign here, press hard, we're ready to go. I think the lack of that speaks more, especially in this world, because in any world of referrals, it's a small world. In the Fed space, we have a saying, we say, if you sneeze in Seattle, they say, bless you in Miami. Meaning, word travels very fast. So if I'm pressuring you, then you're going to tell Sylvia, Sylvia's going to tell Joan, and then Sarah's going to know never to talk to me. So it's this low, low, zero pressure. And I have a tendency to bam, fam. Oh, I let it out. Have you heard of bam, fam before?
I haven't.
All right. Then this is revolutionary. This is a whole new thing. Get your pens out, ladies and gentlemen, because bam, fam means book a meeting from a meeting. And so, thank you, David.
I was up.
Thank you. That's great, Raina. Revolutionary. Writing it down. But it is true. As agents, you may not be able to close it in one sitting. And sometimes Zoom prevents that. Because if it's our first meeting on Zoom, then I've got to get over all of the minutiae of who the heck are you and all the stuff. And so I have a tendency to bam fam pretty much habitually. I'm a habitual bam fammer. Meaning, all right, Lindsay, well, I think we've hit critical mass so far. And as you know, retirement's a big subject. So it's going to take you minutes to sort of download this and digest it. So you take this and you figure it out, or you study on this and think of all the questions you have for me. And let's meet again 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Let's go ahead and get it on the calendar. I'll see you then. Blah, 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 blah. You and the hubs and all the things. So you're on the schedule, because if it's not on the calendar, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's it. That's this part of the process. PM equals money, but it also calms their spirit knowing that you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to you again, and you've got a consistency. And then it becomes a relationship where they're not going to go somewhere else. Like, I have people saying, oh, I went to this other seminar. Rarely now, because after they've seen me, I mean, we're already scheduled. We're going to see each other a bunch of times. They don't care. They're not going to stray. But I think I digress a little bit, but our main focus, of course, is some type of transaction, whether it's annuities, life insurance, Medicare, whatever. Yeah. But my first goal is to get them comfortable to where they also understand what they're looking at. And once we all know what income looks like and what their needs are, eligibility, do they have life insurance, all those things, you just get the lay of the land, you find the pain points. Find where there's pain, and maybe I introduce a Band-Aid or two, right? So I had a sales manager. He always said, cut, agitate, bandage. So either not create the problem, but I find the problem.
Right.
And then I remind them how bad it is. And then I tell them I can fix it.
So just to clarify, I want for, again, for folks that are listening, right, that have family, friends, people in this space, when you say Fed and these people that you're helping with their retirement plans and benefits, who are those people? Who are the Fed?
Anyone employed by the federal government, that is the federal or postal. Military, we help, but they primarily have an internal stuff, so they'll see me afterwards for like IRAs and things like that. But you've heard of all these acronyms, VA, Social Security, Border Patrol, Bureau of Prisons, TSA. So whenever you go through the airport, those are my people. The Postal Service, anyone delivering your mail or when you go to see them. IRS, HHS, CMS, pretty much any, you know, pick an acronym. And it's, you know, in general, you know, federal employees that are currently concerned for their jobs quite a bit right now just because of the big changes in the government.
Yeah, for sure. So a big broad scope. And that's a beautiful thing. I just want to make sure people knew that, right? So they know why or who they need to get in contact with you. You mentioned that about the changing scope in the future. I wanted to ask you because we just talked a little bit before we got on air here. We partnered, affiliated with AmeriLife, Lindsay and myself in 21, you and Richard in 2020. We've seen a lot of change through that partnership. Amazing, great change. What are your takes on the business? Maybe that be your business. Maybe it be our industry as a whole. But the security that you have, knowing that we are going to be good 10 years from now, right? Doing what we do. So what, I know that's a big picture, but maybe over the next couple of years, how do you see what we do for a living, the solutions that we provide people still being a very vital, important piece for the American person?
Absolutely. Well, in terms of AmeriLife itself, I mean, you and I wouldn't be talking without AmeriLife. We're connected by virtue of that collective organization, that ownership. And it's been very enjoyable. And the conferences they have, they provide, I believe, a great value in terms of what they, just the little nuggets you can get, even some little silly saying like BAMFAM. Like, I learned that from a conference back in 2000, good grief, 8, 9. And all of these little things, the little cliche things that you can remember, or you'll meet somebody and make the connection and then like really, really connect with that person, have a spark. Like Lindsay and I love talking with you. I look forward to, we have a women's leadership thing that we're both on. And I really look forward to seeing you specifically at those events. And you create, you foster these relationships. And that's been second to none. I mean, we were even talking previously with some of the media team that works with AmeriLife. They've given me ideas, like all these little things. It's the little stuff. That's so cliche. It's the little stuff that matters. But it really is. It's these small takeaways that really render themselves to huge things, right? I mean, what do they say? If Christopher Columbus had been off by 1 degree, he never would have found what he found. So it's the same thing. If we, you know, these little tiny things that really generate that. But as AmeriLife has a mothership, it's a great resource. I mean, just to be able to contact some of these people who have been in such, I hate saying high because it sounds like posturing or putting them on a pedestal, but in such integral roles in the industry for so long that I would never say somebody's seen everything, but they've seen close to it. Yeah. And they can really help you navigate uncharted waters that are uncharted for you, but they've already been there. You know, if I'm going through a minefield, I would like to be the last guy, not the first guy. So they've already been there and I want to prevent nonsense and they can help me do it. They have helped me do it. Just Andy Sheen as one person at AmeriLife, that man, amazing. He magic in terms of navigating the waters of the agency.
Yeah.
And then in terms of our stuff being, I've already stood the test of time. I mean, insurance has been around forever. I mean, Babe Ruth had an annuity. Beethoven had an annuity, right? They lived off of this. Babe Ruth, literally through the Depression, the only reason he was able to continue is because he was living off of his annuity. And so this stuff is not new. It's been there. It's been there and it's going to continue to be there because it doesn't go away. It just gets better. Life insurance just gets better. 40 years ago, nobody ever heard of living benefits. Now, well, National Life actually had them, but never mind. That's a side note. Let me just bring up some companies and carriers. But I bring that up because my husband had it. He got paid, cancer, all the stuff. But, and then now people say, oh, I don't want life insurance. Well, what if you don't have to die to get paid? So it's a whole different, it's a different world. It's not going to get worse or gone. It's just going to get better and more valuable for people.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've seen it. I mean, I'm learning about it as we speak, right? And I love the same thing. That's what we've always said. It is that leadership. It is about, we're very much on learning from others' mistakes and learning from their path. You said it very well. To not have to do the same thing to get to the same place. So go farther, faster, do that together. And, you know, and again, I'm a learner. So, you know, they talk about this peak 65, right? There, you're probably seeing more people hit that retirement age than there has been over the last 10 years. And they're doing it at a more rapid pace. So presents those challenges. What'd you say? Cut, agitate, and what'd you say?
Cut, agitate, bandage.
So that cut, you know, that retirement creates the cut. You know, you're going to shed some light on what's happening now and let me know how we can bandage that up for you because I've got several different ways to do that.
It's true. I mean, if you don't know you have a problem and then we talk a little bit and then I find your problem, then I'm going to remind you how bad your problem is. And then I'm going to tell you how I can fix it, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like, it's any doctor, right? Hey, you've got a torn meniscus and let me tell you how bad that is and how I can fix it with surgery. It's just, it's all the same type of thing. Hey, you don't have any insurance. So who's paying for this? Something happens. Who's that? Oh, well. Well, they even used to draw the pictures. My husband, Richard, he puts the house and he puts the stick figures. Then he crosses the person off. I'm like, well, it's so important.
Kills all.
Oh, man. He's got this thing. He's like, what if you go to leave your house and you drive out on I-95 and bam, you're hit by a Mack truck. I'm like, and I jump. Everybody jumps. It's incredible. It's incredible.
I've seen Richard present on stage. I can certainly see how everybody be jumping at that moment.
Oh my God.
It's not quite taxable.
I was his perpetual trainee when we worked together at the company. He was supposed to be my manager and then that never happened. But I trained with him a lot. And so sitting on the couch and like, I know it's coming. That's what makes it worse. It's like going to a dang horror film and you know they're gonna jump out of the, you know, off the gear. Anyway, but it's true. You have to take them there. You got to take them there to some point.
Yeah, we've always said it. Our products particularly sell on emotion, right? They sell on that emotion. And a lot of people want to act like those things may never happen. You know, it's not the may or if, or it's the when, you know, something's going to happen at some point. And that is the bottom line. The bottom line is that our solutions present great outcomes. You know, the story that you told of a family's bad situation because of that meeting that they had with you and because of the persistence and the professional that you were for that family, their life was changed forever. And that's the bottom line of what the insurance space can do for people. So, you know, that bad rap.
Was I told him he might fall out of a window, but yeah.
Hey, we're in final expense particularly. So no, that's the fact you were in a hospital. That's what an office to work out of.
Oh, for sure. Sorry. I totally interrupted you. No.
Raina, thank you so much for pouring into the podcast today. Do you have any final words or any philosophical quote or anything like that you'd like to leave our...
At least where people can find you. So you do have that brick and mortar office, right? And that's in Jacksonville suburb. Where are we at?
Absolutely. I'm in Orange Park off Blanding Boulevard here in just south of Jacksonville, Clay County. And yeah, I'm right on Blanding Boulevard. It's the busiest street, I think. And everybody the traffic here is the bane of everyone's existence. But also, you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and that's Raina Retirement. And come on and see us some. I don't know, but yeah. But the thing is, as agents, you can help anyone achieve anything that your financial product can do. You can literally save someone's financial life, and that's a big weight to carry. I mean, it's quite a bit actually, in terms of if you take one more step to make sure the bank draft is completed, or to take one more step to make sure that, you know, they actually understand what it means and what it's not, and ask that extra question to be sure that they truly K-N-O-W before they say N-O. So
yeah. But, Raina, you're amazing. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you all for having me on. This is actually really enjoyable. And Lindsay, I always love seeing you and David. It's good to meet the other half. And right. Yes, the other side.
Yes.
Like, subscribe, and share. And if you want to learn you something, go follow Raina Retirement.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you to all listeners, and we will see you next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching in sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's HIPE.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.
Imagine this. You just purchased your spacious new dream home with new memories on the horizon. But there's one thing hovering in the background that could cost you dearly: your home insurance. I'm Jim Tarabok here for the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. According to a report by USA Today, a 2024 study from the Insurance Information Institute found 12% of Americans no longer have home insurance. That number way up from the 5% figure in 2019. Karen Collins of the American Property Casualty Insurance Agency recently told CNBC insurance companies continue to seek alternatives.
We as insurance companies were advocating for solutions to really try and help address these increasing costs that families, individuals, and business owners are facing. This is the economic safety net that helps rebuild homes, neighborhoods, and communities, and it's really, truly vital.
About 40% of Americans who own their home view homeowners insurance as a discretionary purchase, and despite the risk, a handful of Americans have decided upon self-insuring their homes. So how can you get the best deal for you and your family without paying too much for homeowners insurance? Well, first, check your coverage. You don't want to insure your home for more than it's worth. And second, assess your deductible. A higher deductible could lower your premium. Third, consider bundling your car insurance with your home insurance, as companies offer discounts when you combine multiple policies. By being informed and proactive, you can make sure you're paying a fair price and protecting your property. For the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Jim Tarabokia.